I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What we see on television today is the tip of the iceberg. But don't call these people pro-Palestinian. They are anti-Palestinian. They're pro-Hamas. Mm. Hamas has been destroying the Palestinian cause. They hang gays. They murder dissidents. They discriminate against women. They cause the death of all these people by using human shields. So these pro-Hamas people are not pro-Palestinian. They're anti-Jewish. They're anti-Palestinian. And they're anti-decency.
And they're absolutely clueless. Those are the words of Harvard professor emeritus, law professor, Alan Dershowitz. And he nailed it, absolutely nailed it, in a very succinct manner. Do not call these people that in these rallies pro-Palestinian. They're really pro-Hamas because they don't really understand. I watched a reporter asking some of them, when you shout from the river to the sea, what river is that? It's a river. Yeah, but what river? It's at Israel. Where? It's the Jordan River. We'll help them out. Give them a clue so they won't miss the test next time. And when Dershowitz says, you have all of these people gathering and talking about how great Hamas is, and they're lumping Palestinians in with them, some obviously, Palestinians are Hamas, not all of them. And many of them have been held captive as human shields, as he points out, by Hamas. I saw a piece on one of my feeds that kind of brought all this together. It was a bunch of young students at one of the universities holding up a large banner that said, homosexuals and lesbians for Palestinian, or PLO, for PLO, which also means for Hamas. And then the next little picture that showed up was a bunch of cattle grazing outside of McDonald's. Do you think they would support McDonald's? More beef, less chicken. Let's go to Chick-fil-A then, right? Good God. These people are supposedly bright, but many of them probably got in the way things have been running, not on their ability and merit, but because of other things, which now, of course, they're trying to turn around and say, okay, we'll put back in the SAT and the ACT test so we have some measure of someone's ability and not just take them because of their ancestry, their legacy with another family member attending here, or their race, or their creed, or anything else. In other words, let's get back to education, not indoctrination. All right, glad to have you on board. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back, Monday through Friday, right here for you. 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. I strongly encourage you to do so. You can watch it News Talk Rumble, News Talk STL Rumble, or News Talk STL Facebook, or Twitter, and you can also watch Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. And when we're finished each day, the program's audio and video go up, and you can listen later at a better time that works for you, maybe. Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA.com. And when you do watch or listen at a later point, do me a favor, and yourself and all your friends and like-minded people a favor, push the share button, send it on to them for them to watch so they can get involved. We're going to need all hands on deck, all hands on deck going into this November. Just look at what is happening around us in this world today, not just in our nation, but around the world. Let me take a quick note on a couple of things. Last night I had some folks saying, we're listening to the radio out in the Chesterfield Valley area, and we're hearing another station step on you. Well, that station might have been overpowering, but we also know atmospheric conditions do affect radio signals. That's a fact. But here's the deal. If you have one of these right here, You've got the radio in your hand. You can put it on your phone, free app, or you can just Google NewsTalkSTL.com. It'll open up, and there will be a button at the top you can push, and immediately you're listening via your phone. And if you're in your car and you have Bluetooth, run it through the Bluetooth. It's a digital signal. It will not be affected by all the atmospheric conditions. Use your phone. Get the app. And use it anywhere. I mean from anywhere in the world. One other point I need to raise or remind you again that Thursday I'll be at the GOP headquarters in Fenton. That's 794 Gravois Bluffs Drive. Meeting with the Show Me Patriots. The Show Me Patriots. I'll be talking for a while, and then we'll be taking some questions. The whole event starts at 6 p.m. I'll be there as soon as I can, so I'd love to see you there and meet you in person. If you have a beef with me, show up. Let's talk about it. That's Thursday, starting at 6 p.m., GOP headquarters in Fenton. Now, back to the issues that's facing us on our campuses right now, which is just hair on fire event with kids who have no idea what they're talking about, but they've been coached. And they've had outsiders brought in. That was one of the issues that came up at Columbia University the other day when they were trying to dismantle these tents because they realized a lot of these people out here taking part, they're not even students here. So we're going to get all of them out to begin with. And one of them, of course, that was a student at Columbia has been suspended, basically kicked out of Columbia, the daughter of Ilhan Omar. Her daughter was taking part in it, helped organize it, and they said, you're out of here. But I want you to hear a comment from a Jewish professor at New York University, Scott Galloway, about the double standard we're seeing.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU Square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night, and I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about the exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have, and there are spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying. It's the harassment of Jewish students. So what is that? Why is there that double standard? Because, of course, you're right. You don't even have to say it out loud. If these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled.
Everybody would be expelled. Now, he was on CNN. And they're letting him make that statement and acknowledging, yes, there is a double standard. Now, let's continue.
Why is there still that double standard?
I think it's complicated. I think, one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think. And I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of the David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed, and the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly. Israel is seen as ground zero for whiteness and how wealthy they are. And then what might sound paranoid doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think we are being manipulated, specifically youth, through their frame for the world is TikTok. And if you look at TikTok, there are 52 videos that are pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian for every one served on Israel. I think that we are being manipulated. I think Americans are easier fooled and convinced they've been fooled. But if I were the CCP, I'd be doing exactly the same thing.
They know the game plan, and they know how to pull it off. And he talked about the double standard. As if he started saying, lynch the blacks, burn the gays, he knew he would lose his tenure, which rightly he should. But this other stuff is allowed to happen. I want to take you back to something written by Martin Niemöller. He was a prominent Lutheran pastor in Germany in the 20s and 30s. He lived from 1892 to 1984. He sympathized with many Nazi ideas and even supported radically right-wing political movements. But then when Hitler came into power, he became an outspoken critic. And he wrote this quote, "First they came for the socialists. I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews. I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me. And there was no one left to speak for me. You see how that cascades and where it ends, where it leads? Robert Kraft, Jewish, CEO of the New England Patriots, has donated a lot of money to Columbia University. And he says, I'm keeping money in there for the SAFE project and the Jewish project inside Columbia, but the rest of it I'm yanking out, and his reasoning is very clear.
I never thought I'd see what's going on in America, what's happening right now, and it really pains me to see it. You know, we have our holiday going on now. It goes back to memory of thousands of years ago where negative things were happening, and the same is happening now in this great country that offered so many opportunities to our families who came here as immigrants. And we have to keep it open. We can't have this intimidation that's filtering through all these colleges, and the hate continue to grow and multiply the way it is.
Otherwise, you're back to that quote. They came for the Jews, but I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. So the question for Robert Kraft, from when he attended Columbia, when he got involved and deeply involved, and not only with himself and then during the schooling, but then later and with donations of multi-millions of dollars, what changed?
When I went to Columbia, it was a place where people listened, were empathetic, had compassion. And now, you know, we have professors who, instead of teaching how to think, that they're trying to tell our young people what they should think. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have to do something about is really tenure in these universities where people can do things and don't have accountability.
Big question and big point there made, the accountability. Harvard professor Dershowitz would agree with Kraft, but he wants to be more specific on what's changed, and you're going to hear more of his thoughts coming up in this hour. But first, the trial of former President Donald Trump, which even the Department of Justice did not want to pursue the charges he's facing right now in Manhattan. They did not want to until, well, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan explains.
The Department of Justice wouldn't bring the case. The Federal Elections Commission wouldn't bring the case. The previous district attorney, Cy Vance, wouldn't bring the case. And even Alvin Bragg himself wouldn't bring the case until President Trump announced that he was running for president. And then one of his assistant district attorney resigns, goes public, and writes a book. And that pressure on Alvin Bragg and the fact that President Trump was running for office is why the case was brought. It's ridiculous. Everyone knows it. So that's what all took place before. But now you have the judge whose daughter has been involved working for all kinds of Democrats, and President Trump is not allowed to say anything. This gag order. And then, of course, last Friday, this was probably the worst of all. Last Friday, the judge said we may not have the prosecutors share with the defense counsel, with President Trump's lawyers, who they're going to call as witnesses. That always happens. There's always this courtesy. You get to know who they're going to call as witnesses, and they're thinking about not doing that even. That is how much they're out to get President Trump.
And in fact, as we know now, the prosecution withheld the name of the first witness they were going to call until late Sunday afternoon when the trial started Monday morning. That's dirty tricks. But this judge is not going to call them out for anything. He's just not going to. Jim Jordan again on how Trump has been under attack continuously.
It's pretty obvious to everyone, while they're doing this to President Trump, Alvin Bragg's not prosecuting the bad guys in that city who are doing so much harm to residents there in Manhattan, not prosecuting the real criminals, instead being political, going after President Trump. But Sean, this started 8 years ago. They spied on his campaign. Then it was Robert Mueller. Then it was impeachment. Then they raided his home. Then it's the special counsel, Jack Smith, who indicts him in Florida and D.C. Then it's Fannie Willis in Atlanta. Then it's Alvin Bragg. Then they tried the 14th Amendment. Now they're trying in this trial a gag order and not telling who they're going to bring as witnesses. That's how much they're out to get this guy. But he's going to win because the people see through it.
Well, I certainly hope they do. But again, we're in Manhattan with a Manhattan jury. Now, some have said, you know, it's possible some of those who were on the jury lied and saying they could be unbiased and that they had no preference one way or the other, when in fact they might be on Trump's social media or something of that nature. You think there might be a couple, even one juror in there that got in under the wire acting like, oh, I can do just like these guys over here. They're lying. We know they're lying. Trump pulled maybe 12 to 14, maybe 16% of the vote in Manhattan where this case is being held. They moved it to Long Island. It had been a lot more opportunity to find someone that could actually be unbiased or leaning more for Trump. I mean, if you're going to set the jury and it's going to be a kangaroo court, well, you want it in your favor, obviously. And, of course, it continues, and they continue to look for different things that are going on with it. But I need to make note of something else for you. The Supreme Court today hearing another case, this about emergency abortion care. And as it's written by CNNN, looking at how the case is going through the court and being heard today, Supreme Court justices appear divided on it, with Roberts and Barrett emerging as the key issues. And they write it in today's Supreme Court hearing, the Biden administration challenge, of course, to Idaho's strict abortion law and ban, and the dispute stemming from the Justice Department response to the High Court's reversal of Roe v. Wade 2022. And now the key votes to prevail, the Biden administration need the votes of members of the court's conservative bloc, two of them. Justice Brett Kavanaugh signaling sympathetic. Amy Coney Barrett signed off on overturning Roe v. Wade, as well as did John Roberts previously. But right now, both of them have had tough questions for both sides on the case. And I think that's the way it should be. I mean, I want it come down, and I'm not that familiar with everything in the Idaho abortion law, but if they're asking tough questions, that's exactly what attorneys should face on any case they go before the Supreme Court. No resolution will come today. The questioning will continue and had throughout today, and then at the end of the term, they'll get around to issuing their decision. In the next hour, liberals and conservatives are upset. Liberals and conservatives are upset with the Biden changes in Title IX. Of course, Title IX originally created to give women equal opportunities in sports. My guest will explain why liberals and conservatives are ticked off with this latest proposal by the Biden administration on what to do about Title IX. That will be coming up in the next hour. But coming up next in this hour, I want you to hear more from Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz and the core issue he sees behind these anti-Semitic rallies on the university campuses and why they continue to explode and basically are allowed. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The core problem is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, intersectionality. These dominate universities today, and they're the sources of anti-Semitism. Let me tell you a story about one professor. His name is Joseph Massad. He is the one who praised Hamas on October 7th and said what they did was a wonderful thing. He is pro-Hamas. I opposed his tenure before he got tenure. I told the university that he was a third-rate academic. He had called on a Jewish student as a teacher. And when the student said and started talking, Joseph Massad, the professor, said, "You seem to have an Israeli accent. Are you Israeli?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Can't speak in my class unless you're prepared to say that Israel has committed war crimes." This is a professor. He hadn't gotten tenure yet. And Columbia University gave him tenure, not just as being anti-Israel, but precisely because of it. They wanted anti-Israel professors on the faculty because they were getting funding from anti-Israel countries.
Follow the money. Follow the money. And there you have former Harvard law professor, now professor emeritus, Alan Dershowitz, about the issue with tenure, some of these professors. And again, he said, "I knew this guy, I knew his mindset, and you're going to give him tenure when, as Dershowitz claimed, he's basically a third-rate professor." Tenure means once they have that, once they're given that, you can't fire them. You cannot fire them. Oh, you could try, but you may have to go through a long court battle, and you'll probably still lose because tenure is that, it's that golden ring you try to grab as soon as you get into education. At whatever level of education. If you get tenure, boy, you're protected. I can do anything. If he can stand there in his class and say, you sound like you might have a Jewish accent. Are you from Israel? Yes, I am. Well, then you can't speak anymore in my class until you're willing to condemn what Israel has done to the Palestinians. That is not chilling of speech and First Amendment. That is shutting it down. And I hear the left all the time talking about how the right, the conservatives, are, quote, fascist. They don't know the meaning of the word. Fascism is exactly that. You deny any other voice. You shut it down. That professor that Alan Dershowitz, and he called him by name, so he has no problem with naming him because apparently he's got it fully backed up that it took place just as he described it. That professor is replicated, multiplied repeatedly throughout our nation in various levels of learning. We're not talking about just the poison Ivy League college universities. We're talking about the lower schools, the public schools in many cases as well. And we're talking about junior colleges, and we're talking about high schools, and we're talking about middle school, and we're talking about, yes, all the way down to elementary school. It's a leech. And once the leech gets onto you, it's not going to let go until it sucks all the blood out of you. That's exactly what these professors in many cases are doing, and especially if they have tenure. It's almost like the kids on the yard, they're playing, and one of them just basically thumbs his nose and, no, you can't reach me. You can't touch me. I'm special. And they are. They are by the rules and regulations of the university. So when you grant that tenure, you damn well better know what kind of person you're getting. And according to Dershowitz, they clearly knew, and they wanted, because they wanted more funding from anti-Israeli communities. And if they can show that he's a tenured professor here at our university, well, so you may have others that are anti-Palestine and pro-Israel, but we got this one. That's going to bring a lot of money in. He'll be worth his weight in gold and more. I mentioned earlier that Robert Kraft, the CEO of the Patriots, New England Patriots, he went to Columbia University, and he talked about how much it meant to him. He did this in an interview with Sean Hannity the other night. I just didn't have time to get around to it. But he talked then about how important the university environment was, how it gave him a lift, not only for him, but migrants across the nation. If they could get into college and get a higher education, maybe some of them got to college, maybe some barely got it through high school and then learned a skill. But he's talking about the environment of learning versus indoctrination. And Kraft is saying, you know, when I was going to school, I mean, we were actually being taught and being educated. And now that he's watched these rallies at Columbia and they're not been shut down, he's basically said, the multi-millions of dollars I give Columbia University, except for supporting the Jewish Union and supporting a SAVE group that takes care of people that might need traumatic help, he said, I'm yanking that money. Now, that is a big loss for Columbia University. I guess they're just going to say, oh, well, we'll make it up with more anti-Israeli countries. Is that the idea? Robert Kraft.
Look at America. We've done research, and it shows 90% of the people in this country are good people. They just have to be educated, and we can't have them apathetic or misguided. We have to let them know, and they have to stand up and not be silent. And, you know, it starts with the Jews, but then every group that feels marginalized, whether it be blacks, Asians, Hispanics, gay people, it'll just really impact the great fabric of this country where people have freedom to operate and go the way they want. And now we have hatred and intimidation taking over.
Does that not go back to the quote I read you earlier from a prominent Lutheran pastor in Germany? In the 20s and 30s, first they came for, and I remained silent, and then when they came for me, there was no one to defend me because I never say anything to protect those people. As Kraft said, look at what is happening in our country. And Alan Dershowitz, puts it very clear as to what is at stake.
This goes back years and years and years. And until and unless universities like Harvard and Columbia get rid of, uproot, completely from top to bottom, the DEI bureaucracy and the intersectionality bureaucracy, this will continue and it will destroy every major university in America and turn American universities into the same third-rate institutions that Professor Joseph Massad is as a third-rate scholar.
Is that what you want? Now, riddle me this. Let's say you have a student that you're paying their tuition for them to go to Columbia University. And now, right now, the school is shut down. They can't even hold open classes. They're telling everybody you have to do remote learning. That's not what you're paying all that money for. But that's the way it's going on. Now, COVID also brought that in. But then you could, now falsely we look at, go back and claim that, well, we're worried about contagions and things of that nature. This is simply a different type of disease, and it is extremely, extremely virulent in the sense that it's getting into the minds of all these young people. You've heard of mad cow disease? That's pretty much what we've got going on right now at Columbia. And they kept saying you're going to have to clear all the tents and clear everything off and put an end to it. And the other night, one of the CNN reporters was covering them as they're marching through the Columbia campus, and they're carrying torches, and they were describing them as mostly a peaceful protest. No one was setting anything on fire or anything. But just watching them carry those torches, did it not flash back to some of you about the Proud Boys, how they marched in Charlottesville and held torches and said, "Whose streets? Our streets. Whose streets? Our streets." That was pretty much Hitler and his approach at that time. And we're seeing it now with the very group that would destroy Hitler, or Hitler would try to destroy. And yet they found this common bond. Then there's the other issue. Alan Dershowitz points it out immediately.
A friend of mine who was the president of a major college said to me the one criteria that doesn't exist for being the president of a university or a member of the board is courage. These folks have no courage, no guts. They want everybody to love them, and they can't do that. This is a time for making hard, hard decisions, and universities are not good at making those kinds of decisions. So what we're going to see today and tomorrow is universities being responsive to Congresswoman Stefanik, who's done a great job in exposing this, and they'll do one or two things. But the deep problem of continuing to have a bureaucracy, which is against equality, in favor of equity, which is the opposite of equality. You judge people based on their ethnicity and based on their race and religion. They won't do anything to dismantle the real problems here and to stop hiring people because of their hatred of Israel.
Speaking of lack of leadership, that brings us to House Speaker Mike Johnson when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beale started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beale Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Israelis responded. When the Israelis went back, they went to Isfahan. What's at Isfahan? It's right next to the Natanz nuclear facility of Iran. And I think both sides all of a sudden realized, we're at a level now. We're starting to cross something here, which is could get pretty dangerous when you're attacking both countries' nuclear facilities. And there they actually created a bit of a deterrence level. We didn't do that. And we remember, this is an administration that said to the Israelis, don't, or to the Iranians, don't. And they did. And then the Israelis, well, don't go, you know, take the wind, don't respond, and the Israelis just disregarded that. So I think what's happened now is you've actually seen a level of deterrence established by both sides, which is good. Good for the Israelis in the sense that now they can focus in on Hamas, focus in on going down and finishing the job down in Rafah and completing the mission that they had there. And the Iranians saying, okay, we'll take a little bit of a win and back off from there.
And apparently that's what they're doing, Iranian backing off right now. And there might be more reasoning behind it. Now, you were listening then to retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, an analyst for Fox News. He's saying pretty much what Fred Flights said with our program yesterday. Fred Flights, 30 years in CIA, National Intel Divisions, and so forth, and said it basically sent word, Iran, you could not hit the target you wanted to. You tried, but you couldn't get through the Iron Dome. And for the most part, we shot down everything you had. And basically, any damage that happened was debris falling from what we exploded in the air. And then when Israel responded, there was no such defense to keep Israeli missiles hitting their targets. But they chose very limited, selected areas. As you were hearing from the general, he said, they were limited in their strikes with a purpose, but it was enough to send a message to Iran. You see the difference? And we didn't even really try to get really, really nasty with you. I'm looking at a piece written in The Economist. Let me double check that fact. It is The Economist. It is. And it's titled, How Iran Covered Up the Damage from the Israeli Strikes. Remember, Iran was saying, oh, they didn't do anything. They didn't really cause anything. Well, according to this Economist article written by one of their authors based in covering the Middle East, says when Iran and Israel exchanged drone and missile strike carriers, the world was braced for a full-fledged war in the Middle East. In the end, basically what General Kellogg had said, both sides having violently made their point, let matters rest. And then the Economist article points out new satellite images show how Iran saved face and backed down. It simply swapped one destroyed air defense radar for a fresh one. Points out that in response to the Iranian barrage a few days earlier, Israeli jets hit several ballistic missile locations, got through their radar, had no problem with it, And then Iran began to realize we can't protect ourselves as Israel did. Better stand down. They'll never say that publicly. And they'll never acknowledge any real damage whatsoever. But The Economist, apparently, in this article, has a pretty good handle on, we lost a radar site, we'll just put a new radar site in, and we're all good to go. They want to live in that dream world? So be it. Well, President Biden today signing a bill that could lead to a ban on TikTok, but it won't be cut off from the millions of American users just yet. The bill basically, and it's getting fast track at this point, signed into law by the president less than 2 months after it first unveiled in the House. And Biden's signing will kick into place a timeline for TikTok's China-based parent company, ByteDance, to either sell the app or face a ban from U.S. app stores and networks. Now, if it is banned in the U.S., you won't be able to get it on your phone. And if you have it on your phone, you won't be able to get anything from it anyway. So there is no ban specifically on TikTok at this time for the general public. It's a little bit different if you work for a federal installation or a contractor in and out of such facilities. But you'll still have access, giving them time to sell it off to someone in the U.S. that will be completely free of control from communist Chinese. The way the Chinese work, and the communist government, you could set up a company here in the U.S., but if it's linked to China, everything gets reported back to China, all the information you collect, all the revenue, they have complete control and hold on it. And yet the ByteDance chairman that would appear before the Congress and state, you know, TikTok is not really involved in anything with the communist Chinese. That's a flat-out lie. That's a flat-out lie. Do you really think, do you even assume, do you even imagine in your wildest, craziest dreams of whatever you're smoking or drinking that communist China doesn't care if it gives its stuff away to people and they're not going to really watch over it going forward? You cannot be that foolish. And yet, there are many that are. So ByteDance will have a year to find a buyer. But the Chinese have some rules that could dictate exporting technology, and there's another court challenge from TikTok. One spokesman in a statement said, "This unconstitutional law is a TikTok ban, and we will challenge it in court." We could see that coming, could we not? They'll use our own courts to make sure the communist Chinese win in our nation. Nothing sounds right about that, does it? But don't forget, we've got untold thousands of military-age Chinese men that have entered our country illegally, some of them being caught on cameras meant to capture wild game for hunters and ranchers and so forth, or anything that might harm their livestock. But these guys are coming across in the dark of night. They're not trying to be caught at a port of entry. About 200 did get caught the other day when they decided, well, let's try this. Well, that didn't work either. And they were apparently, at the last report, they were being kept out of the country and being detained. So far, because the way this administration knows, they could change tomorrow. Obviously, the supporters of TikTok, either being sold or banned, say it does represent and pose national security concerns because it's owned by the Chinese company, which then exposes any sensitive data they get from Americans and will use it in whatever they want. Now, I know many, many mom-and-pop operations use it to kind of promote their product or something, and even farming, and kids use it for little stupid stuff. Adults do as well. But it's different than the TikTok they have in China. In China, they use it only for educational purposes or additional indoctrination. But here, they're just letting you go ahead and do what you want. We don't care. We're going to get it anyway. So GOP Speaker Mike Johnson is still on thin ice because he pushed additional Ukraine funding through without holding to the GOP members who vowed no more money for Ukraine unless we get full border control back. Now, some suggest he basically allowed the Democrat minority to take control of the House. If that's the way you want to see it, Johnson is already getting praise from a previous House Speaker. I have that story coming up. Plus, Marjorie Taylor Greene still considering a resolution to oust Johnson. And she's also calling out defense contractors who see the Ukraine funding as the gift that just keeps giving. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, shame on the American government. Shame on the American government. If we support our military, support our military. We should be funding to build up our weapons and ammunition, not to send it over to foreign countries to kill foreign peoples. And if this body was worth what it claims to be what it is, every single one of us would be demanding peace in Ukraine between these countries. Peace for these people so that no more of them have to die. But you never hear anybody demanding peace. No. Peace is the last thing Washington wants because it doesn't fit the business model. This is a business model that they say continues our economy, protects American jobs. What a disgusting business model. We should have a business model that builds up our American companies and American jobs to serve American interest, and our military and our government should care about protecting the national security of the United States of America and the Americans that pay their hard-earned tax dollars to fund all of this. America last. That's all this is.
You know, when I was first taking economics in college, I clearly remember a professor pointing out that what said that when the economy is not going well and you need to spur growth, the best thing that could happen is get involved in a war. Get involved in a war. You suddenly have spending for the military and it ripples across the nation in various ways. That thought has stuck with me. Marjorie Taylor Greene is alluding to that. Now, she, as I said, has introduced a resolution but not given a timeline when she's going to bring it to a vote to vacate the House speakership. She's getting, obviously, opposition, one of them coming from Steve Bannon, in his who is a former, of course, Trump White House aide. In his War Room podcast, Bannon said, Green doesn't care the speaker's office becomes a revolving door. Well, I do, and I think she does, but I don't really want to do it. And others have said, yeah, we probably need to do this, but not right now. The timing is not right. When would the timing be right? That's a good question. I don't have the answer. She's gotten pushback from various people, and now one of the latest is Republican North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis, Republican, and says Marjorie Taylor Greene is, quote, dragging our brand down, dragging our brand down, adding she is a horrible leader. She's dragging our brand down. She, not the Democrats, are the biggest risk to us getting back a majority. He said, everything she does, she's uninformed, a total waste of time. And along that point, Green had last week not just lashed out at Johnson and colleagues, but she also made the points to say, not only is Mike Johnson a traitor to our conference, he's a traitor to our country. That is very strong language. I don't mince words when I admit that's over the line to call Mike Johnson a traitor to the country. So he did not do what you expected him to do, and you thought he was going to. And some are saying, well, he saw no chance of getting it past the Senate anyway. I've got a piece in front of me from John Daniel Davidson. He basically says what happened is, you can make up all the excuses, but what happened in the end is He caved because he's weak, unprincipled, and like the rest of the GOP establishment, doesn't care what Republican voters think. That's the opinion of John Daniel Davidson, a senior editor of The Federalist. But here comes support for Speaker Mike Johnson. If you're driving right now, please maintain control of your vehicle. I'll give you a moment to pull off a little bit. I do not want you to lose control when I tell you who's coming to his support and basically saying, right on, Mike. He is now a member of the Fox Corporation Board of Directors. And we were talking yesterday that Johnson had made a deal basically to share the leadership of the Democrats by what he's done. And this same spokesman says, yes, he did, and I'm praising him for permitting Democrats to seize control of the House, stating, in a way, and admitting Democrats steamrolled Johnson by successfully pushing the Biden administration agenda. Johnson gave Biden pretty much everything he wanted, without having conceded much in return, according to Punch Bowl reporting. And Paul Ryan, the former House Speaker, appears to represent the mainstream establishment opinion of Johnson's historic maneuver, but does not represent many conservatives. He is basically praising Mike Johnson, saying he found his footing and his vote. He did it as a statesman, risking his own personal political fortune for the greater good he believes in. That's a quote from the former Speaker Paul Ryan as he was talking to Axios Publication. A lot of folks were glad to see Paul Ryan go. Now maybe they're looking at, Ryan looks a lot like, acts a lot like, may be like, may have the same DNA as Mike Johnson. What do you think? The battle over Title IX, conservatives and liberals upset. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.